You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
What I want to talk to you about today, the topic is changing directions. Changing directions. Now, you can refuse to change direction, and it doesn't change anything that in Him we live and move. So direction is always happening. I believe that when He came and said, I came that you might have life, Jesus, and you might have it more abundantly, He was talking about a life under direction. I believe that there is daily direction that happens in all of our lives. Give us this day our daily bread. A righteous man's steps are ordered of the Lord. And so one miss of direction could cost you incredible blessings. It could cost you incredible health. It could cost you your destiny. He daily leads us. The pattern for this is all through the Bible. He says to Abraham, take you and 318 families that work for you and go look for a city. I'm not going to tell you where it is. Just start moving. 318 families were displaced. And they start moving. How did they make sure they were going in the right place? Daily direction. And I can tell you it's even more than that. Sometimes it's hour by hour or moment by moment direction, because you have to be tuned in. And if you're tuned in, listen, it's not some just the elite in the spiritual world can get direction. God loves you like a dad. Everybody gets direction. It's just you don't ask. Now, the scripture today that I want to kind of base everything on foundationally is one that we all know in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust, rely, let your confidence be, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Probably better translate soul. With all of your mind, your will, your emotions. So my confidence is in my soul. It's in my fact that I know He's guiding every step that I have. He says, don't worry. I send you the Holy Spirit, for He will guide you. Right? In all truth. So Holy Spirit is leading every day. And I can tell you, there is nothing, Pastor Clarence, that's the straight line in life. Not even the interstates are straight lines. Nothing is a straight line. Everything is this. And so as the Holy Spirit leads me, He guides me. He guides me. But if I don't stay aware, how many of y'all have just for a second lost your focus while driving? You started thinking about something else. Can I just warn you, all my children, this is not meant to be used while you're driving. Holy Spirit will guide me if I'm connected. Holy Spirit will guide me into all truth. But when you disconnect from the Holy Spirit, I'm going somewhere. Y'all with me? Are you with me? If you disconnect from this, you can end up in a crazy place in a hurry. Direction. I'm about to turn 64. I love the Holy Spirit and I respect Him more than I ever have in my life. I know I need to know every minute. Where is He? Where is He? And how many of you know that if you're really in touch with Holy Spirit, you can feel things are getting a little cold. Things are getting a little, oh, it's warmer, warmer, warmer. Okay, now, let's go. Because the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, is going to take you on some paths that are unfamiliar to you. Yes. Let me tell you how to get robbed of all your blessings. Get in a rut doing the same thing every day. Oh, this is me. This is what I do. This is how I roll. Stop that. That's craziness. The Holy Spirit is always changing directions. And wherever he goes is where I go. One obedience to the Holy Spirit could open doors for you. You've been praying for forever. And it's sometimes in the simplest things if you'll just take. Oh, no. Okay, here we go. Let's finish the scripture. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, your soul. Lean not to your sense of direction. Now, let me tell you something. I'm married to the greatest wife in the world. I honestly believe that. I'm just telling you, she's the absolute best wife, best mother. I can't go into it. I wouldn't have time to finish the message. The bottom line is, she has absolutely no sense of direction. None. I'm telling you, if this has happened once, it's actually happened 20,000 times. We get out of the elevator, and I just watch when we're in a hotel, which is a lot now. We're in a hotel. She gets out, and she always turns the wrong way. And she looks at me, I'm going the wrong way. I go, yeah. I said, look here, whatever you feel, do the opposite. Whatever you feel, just do the opposite of what you feel to do, because you absolutely have zero sense of direction. Now, I'm going to tell you, without the Spirit, you have zero sense of direction. We were riding our bikes yesterday. No, day before yesterday. And we were out riding, and so we were just going down. And I let Sunny lead because I know we'll ride farther if she leads. That is. If she's behind me, she's going to get depressed. So I let her lead, and I keep encouraging her, you're doing great. And so last week we did 30 miles in one ride. And so we were riding, and so she just said, well, let's go in here, this subdivision. And we started going, and we started going, and it started getting dark. Now, as a man, I have a little pride. I have a little ego. I did not want to stop and ask for, because I'm the one who has the sense of direction. But I was in uncharted territory. I was in a place that I did not know. And we had been going in and out of subdivisions so much, I had no clue. And then I said to her, what way do you think? That was like the worst move ever. Now it's just getting real dark. And then finally I go, look, all pride aside, the next person we meet, we're riding up in their yard and how to get out of this place. And it was, we had gotten ourselves, what? It took us 5 or 6 miles just to get home. Sense of direction. Lean not unto our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. Okay, now, and that means in every place, all right, God, what would you have me do? Stop thinking little things you don't need to ask. You need to ask direction in everything. I said you need to ask direction in anything and everything. And all your ways acknowledge him, and he will give you direction. He will say, no, this way. No, don't do this. Okay. Let me take you to this. Numbers 22 through 25 is just this incredible story of Balaam and Balak. It's incredible, incredible story. And the children of Israel in Numbers 21 have just gone through this time where everybody was getting bit by snakes and people were dying. And then they cry out to God. God gives them direction and all the biting, snake biting stops. And then comes, so all of a sudden the children of Israel, they're coming into this king's territory. And when they're coming into this king's territory, he gets freaked out and he calls on the prophet Balaam. And he says, Balaam, I want you to curse them and bless us. And Balaam says, I can't do any of that. I can only bless who God blesses and curse who God curses. I'm just getting the report. I don't get the direction. He gives me direction. I'm the one that follows direction. And he said, I'll make you rich if you prophesy what I want you to. Can I tell you something? You can't bribe God. You can't determine where you want to go, because where you want to go might be the very worst place for you. Now, can I tell you the hero of the story? The hero of the story was an ass. I loved King James. It just says ass. Because, man, even an ass was smarter than the prophet. The ass knew direction. He keeps being baited. Not going to tell you the whole story, but I will tell you, he finally gets, and God says to him, I will not bless them. I've blessed my children. I've cursed them. And he keeps wanting another report. Can I give you this? Please write this down. When God's given you a word, don't try to get another word. God's never going to give you another word till you are obedient to the last word. He's never going to give you another word till you are obedient to the last word. So he's riding the donkey, and the donkey comes up, and the donkey sees the angel, and the donkey sees the sword, and the donkey just stops. Balaam gets off and starts beating the daylights out of the donkey. And God looks. What do you think God thinks about us when we don't follow direction? In all your ways acknowledge me. If you read Proverbs 3:7-8, it says, I'll make you wise, I'll heal your body, I'll make you prosperous, I'll do all those things, but it's always in my direction. Always on my direction. He gets back on the donkey and tries to force the donkey. Now, I'm going to tell you, in life, God will give you a vehicle to get to a place. Like a job, like relationships, things that help carry you to a place. But I'm going to tell you that you only keep those things if you're obedient. Everything that God has given me, I'm just a steward of. That's how I keep getting more things. They're just things he trusts me with, and when I'm through with it, that's why when I moved from a bigger house to a smaller house recently, I didn't decide to put all my stuff in storage. That's crazy. First off, it's expensive as get out, and I have a chance to plant seed. I have a chance to give all the stuff away. See, you're holding on to old stuff, but because you won't give it up, God can't give you the new stuff. Hold on. I got to hold on to this. You're holding on to this so you can never get this, what God's in God's hand. So Balaam is, Balaam is just hard-headed. How many of you raise your hand and say, sometimes I'm hard-headed? Let me see. Get your hands up. You know you are. I got mine up. You know you're just straight up hard-headed. He gets back on the mule, and the mule sees the angel. He goes, I'm not going any farther, and takes and crushes Balaam's foot against the wall. And now he's walking like this, and he doesn't get it. Can you just stop today and say, am I in the right direction? Do I take directions well? See, how many of you know you'll give your children a million chances? Now, come on, friend. A million chances if they take directions well. But if they're rebellious, oh no, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Somebody's will has to get broken. It's not yours. Okay. Now his foot is crushed. He gets off, beats the animal some more. Gets back up on the animal. Instead of taking directions, he's stubborn going in the direction. And he starts going down a place where it's so narrow, they can't go anymore. And he gets off the donkey and he says, if I had a sword, I'd kill you right now. And God gives the donkey a voice. He touches, because listen to me. You think you're big just because you can speak a word from God? A jackass and a rooster spoke in the Bible. Don't think you're big. You're just a vessel. He touches that donkey's mouth. That donkey looks around and he goes, have I not rode your rear end all over this country? Have I not always taken care of you? And look at you. You beat me trying to kill me. And then the Bible says, and God opened his eyes and he saw the angel and the sword. And God said, you're lucky, young man. I'd have spared the donkey. I'd have killed you. But the donkey saved you. Sometimes God puts an ass in your life to save you. You don't have to like them. You don't have to be buddies. But you better listen and take direction. Some of the times God has spoken to me in my life is from people I straight up did not like. But I know his voice. And I know strong enough there's no blessing without obedience. Okay, let me tell you five reasons you change directions. And then we're going to do a little thing here at the end that's going to help you remember this, and then I'm going to pray for you. First reason you change directions, it's the closest way to your destiny. You don't get, Melissa, to your destiny by just doing this. You get to your destiny by being strategic. Sometimes it's move to Orlando, then back here. Well, why couldn't I just stay here? Because of step of the other four I'm about to tell you. The closest way to your destiny is the change of direction, is his following his direction. Number two, God makes you change direction to teach you obedience. God gives you a change of direction. Okay, this morning, could you get up a little early and pray today? Could you change your direction today? Could you maybe listen to some other music today? Could you maybe just call somebody and say something? God constantly tests your obedience because he would rather have that than sacrifice. Number two, teach you obedience. Number three, to give you wisdom. Carol, we would never learn new stuff unless we went new places. Some of y'all have eaten at the same restaurant forever. There's more than Popeye's fried chicken. There's other restaurants. The best Italian food is not at Olive Garden. I'm just going to tell you right now. The best steak is not at Burger King. But you don't know. You don't know. Wisdom is following his direction and being places you've never been, meeting people you've never met, to learn things you've never learned. The fourth reason he changes direction, because you would meet somebody that needs ministry that you would have never met otherwise. My family, my children were, when we moved to Buffalo, how old were you, son? 12. They were 12, 7, and 2. And I had this opportunity to move to Buffalo to take the largest church in a denomination in the north of part of America. And the pastor asked me to come to a several thousand member church. Pastor Josh, is 12 years old, comes in the room and he says, "Dad, I believe we're supposed to go to Buffalo, New York. The house is going to look like this, and this is what's going to be happening in the backyard. Deer are going to be in the backyard." Da, 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 da. And it was exactly what he said it was. And I moved to Buffalo, and we're going to do a year's transition. And I sold my dream home in Atlanta. We bought a home outside of Buffalo. It was beautiful. It was cold as, Jesus, help me. And listen to me, it was everything that was prophesied, but hear this. God never intended me to live the rest of my life in Buffalo. He intended me to live 1 year in Buffalo. I could go through all that story and tell you, I know that the first home that I ever bought with Sonny and I, God put us there for our next door neighbor. Her husband had just died and she was grieving. My wife was now 700 miles away from her mother, and Sonny ministered life to her, and she became a mom to Sonny. And it saved her life and gave her Jesus before she passed away. That is exactly why we moved there. We moved to the next house on North Highland. There was this hippie couple that lived next door, loved to smoke grass, and they were like, he was an architect, the graduate from Yale, and they were just like freaky people. And God moved us to that place. I was renovating houses, and we would be in a house, and we would live there for a while, for 6-8 months, then we would sell it, make our money. They became elders in the church. Everywhere he puts you, is for a reason. Yesterday, my next door neighbor, and the new place we live in, I said, I'm just telling you because I've already loved him and served him. I said, "Now you have to go to church with me. You have to." And he said, "Well, my wife's working tomorrow." I said, "Well, I will give you another chance. But I could tell you before the year is out, he and his family will be sitting on this row right here." Or why did God put me in that neighborhood? He put me there for a reason. You're living where you're living for a reason. There's a direction because there's people that you're supposed to minister to. Lastly, number five, the reason God gives you a change of direction is he wants to introduce you to a new ally. Ally. Somebody that's going to be a relationship because they're going to open doors for you that would have never been opened up for you. God sent this woman that she can't really, she now has offices where our offices are, our church offices are, but she has raised $30 to $40 million for children. She's an ex-banker. Hope is her church. She doesn't get to come a lot. She's 80-something. And the bottom line is this. That's an ally that has opened up relationships for me that I cannot even begin to tell you. Let me tell you, unless you change directions, you don't find the relationships you need to find. Change direction. Moses is walking up a hill. God says, "Turn aside." Bam. And that one turn aside, that one change of direction made him the deliverer of the children of Israel. One change of direction. Ruth says to Naomi, she's grieving. Mama's grieving because she's lost her husband and her two sons. Ruth is grieving because she's lost her husband. And she goes, I'm ready to change directions. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Change of direction. I don't care if you're grieving or you're hurting. You still got to follow because your health and your healing is going to be in following him. Yes? Of course. Now, let me just say this. Fear is the booger. Fear is the enemy. Because I've tried to change direction before, and what happened? I want to stay with what's safe. The only safe place is following God. He who dwells in the shadow of the Almighty. You're only safe when you're following direction. Okay, here we go. Now here's the way we're going to end this thing. It's going to be good. You're going to enjoy this. God said, the reason there's not utter chaos on the streets is because of road signs. The question is, we'll be led by signs and wonders. But first, signs. Now, I'm going to give you something that's going to give you context to every time you drive, anytime you go anywhere. You're going to see the Spirit. Are you ready? Melissa, are you ready? Let's go. Number one. Construction ahead. Let me just tell you something. This sign stays up all the time. There's always construction ahead. He's not through with you. He's always fixing. He's always moving. He's always changing. You're under construction. This is who I am. No, no, no. Let me just give you a sign. Construction ahead. Let me give you the next sign. Bam. What are you, an idiot or something? If there's a road closed, don't cry, don't complain, don't rebuke it, just don't go down it. Road closed. Now there was a sign in between the two that said, construction finished. I just want to tell you, whenever you see construction finished, that's only because the next project's about to start. All right, come on, Melissa, we're having fun. Go, accident ahead. Now, let me tell you this. My dad, we were on the road every week of my life. We were always traveling somewhere. My dad never, if he saw a wreck, would stop every time. We'd get out and he'd go pray for people. Never. And I'm telling you, we traveled across America, sideways, up and down, everywhere in a car, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of miles, always stopped in an accident. Can I tell you this? When you see this sign, realize when there's an accident, ministry's needed. See, you're trying to knock on somebody's door when an accident hasn't happened. Wait till an accident happens. People are open then. 9/11, the secular media was going, pray for us, pray, pray. Accident ahead. Come on, Melissa. Dangerous curve ahead. You're going 100 miles an hour like there's no curves in life. You see that? It's a warning. Why do you get words from God? Why are you sensitive in the spirit? Curve ahead. Curve ahead. Everybody else, I don't care how great a driver you are, if you try to take that kind of curve going at the normal speed, you're going to lose control and you're going to have a wreck. But the signs are there, so you slow down and you take the curve. Can you learn, do like this, can you learn to flow in life? Loosen up a little bit. Learn to flow. Learn to listen. Come on, Melissa. Animal Crossing. Man, I'm telling you, traveling all over the world, there's some crazy signs about animals. We were in Norway, watch moose crossing. Now watch this. You don't have a right to hurt the people who do not have ability to defend themselves. If you would learn to drive a little more defensively, I know whatever country you're from, you think it gives you the right to use your horn and take control. You know what I was so, you know what I loved, Carol? I was at the Arc de Triomphe, and it's nine lanes around the Triomphe, the Arc de Triomphe, nine lanes. And, thank you, my buddy, it's nine lanes around it, and nobody's blowing their horn, Clarence. Everybody just is letting everybody in. I said, this would never work in America. This would never work. We need red lights. Even at roundabouts in America, we have red lights because nobody knows how to yield. I couldn't believe it. I'm just telling you, there's probably 12 different roads that feed in. No red lights. Everybody just respects everybody and just lets people in. And it's crazy. There's no lanes. We would never know how to do that because the minute you get in our lane, okay. Take me, Melissa. Let's go. Detour. But I go this way every day. But I do this every day. I rebuke that detour sign. Now, I want to tell you something. A detour is going to take you around something that would cause your car to be devastated. Whatever. Obey the sign. A detour is not bad. It's strategic. What did I just say? Not bad, it's strategic. A detour is not bad. It's just strategic. I know that you go that way. Watch this. I know you have a right to go that way. But it's not going to work today. Come on, let's go, Melissa. Speed bump ahead. How many of you think those were put in our lives just to frustrate us and to keep us from moving to the speed we need to move? Wrong! It's to protect children. You're in a residential area. You're not supposed to be going 50. You're not supposed to be going 80. You're supposed to be going 15. But because we're so stubborn. Some people don't even with the speed bumps, they'll risk tearing the bottom of their car out to keep their speed. Eddie Polanco, one of our first elders, has driven a Publix 16-wheeler over 3 million miles without a wreck. Okay. Interesting fact. How many of y'all like to go a little fast? Let me just put your hands up. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's good. Let me break it down for you. Eddie Polanco's route was to pick things up in Miami and to go to Key West and back every day in a 16-wheeler. Now, I'm telling you, he's made the trip hundreds and hundreds of times. This is what he said. If you race as hard as you can, and you try to even push the speed limit and go over the speed limit to Key West, which is 160 miles from Miami. Watch this. You get there 5 minutes earlier. Nelson, 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Do you know how many police are hiding behind signs going down to Key West? Let me tell you something. Their city is dependent on giving you traffic tickets. And you can never do that unless you don't read the sign that says speed limit. Speed bump ahead. Yes, go ahead, Melissa. How many of you have tripped over the same thing more than one time? Let me see. Let me just see. You just keep going. I wish there was somebody with, what is that? There's the yellow thing. They got a yellow tape on it, and you keep tripping over it. You don't see the sign. Caution. Watch your step. Can I tell you? There was a time that I could jump one-legged all the way down this thing and out the back door. That was what I did. Triple jump was one thing. I could get on this leg and I could bound all the way out this door on one leg with balance. That's not today. Today I have artificial knees and it's a little hard to keep balance sometimes. I'll find myself walking through the airport sometimes and just start walking a different way. Now, see, I have to watch my step now more than I ever had to watch it before. Let's go. Come on, Melissa. You're doing good. Pedestrian crossing. How many of you know that pedestrian always has the right of way? Here, I got a police officer right here that's going, thank you, Bishop, for preaching this message. Listen to me. You never have a right to hurt someone else's walk in fulfilling your destiny. You're riding, they're walking. Can we just be more considerate of people? Can we just be more tolerant of people? Now, on a side note, a personal problem that I have. Why is it? If I'm my age, if I'm walking and I see a car slow down to let me go across, I'm going to pick it up just a little bit and say thank you. And say thank you. And say thank you. But when I pull up and somebody goes, it's everything I can do not to just go, yeah, and just bump that sucker. Because look here, if you have a right attitude, I'm going to work with you. But you step out there. Okay, now, see, that's not in the spirit. None of that is in the spirit. That's just straight up. It's the same thing that I have when people are trying to get in to my lane. If you look at me and go, I always let you in. But if you're going to try to bluff your way in, I'd rather bang my car. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. That's okay. I'm gone most of the rest of the year. You know, that's okay. I had to give it all in one day. Let's go, Melissa. Help me. Railroad crossing. If there's something bigger and stronger coming and it has the right of way, stop! You're going to get killed. There are some things that are very powerful in your life that are moving, and the best thing that you can do, you don't need to fight it, you don't need to pray about it. Can I tell you, I taught this recently at a little Bible study. The prayer of serenity. Everything fits, Bill, in two categories. What you can change and what you can't change. You're stressing because you're worried about stuff in the first category. There's certain things I can't change right now. It's in the first category. The end of the prayer says, and the wisdom to know the difference. There are certain things, I don't care how much you pray about, not going to change right now. You need the wisdom to know, I'm going to leave that to God. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit handle that. And the things I can change, I'm getting busy at. Bam, that's another thing. Let's go on. Come on, I'm running out of time. Street signs. The Lord said to Paul, go to a street named Straight, and on that street you will find Ananias, and you're blind, but he'll touch your eyes and you'll be healed and you'll see again. But you would have never got that unless you were on the right street. See, there are streets. How many of you know I used to live on 83rd and I had to go down 79th Street? When you say 79th Street, let me just tell you something. You better be ready if you're on that street after dark. I live there. You don't have to ask me. I know about that street. Wow. Did you hear the rain come? It's a tremendous symbol. Let's go. No parking. And that means you. I'm just stopped. No, listen. In life, you want to stop. You've had a good day. You like what's going on. And I'm just going to park. I'm just going to stay here. Let me tell you, the symbolic of the children of Israel, they would get there, set up their tent, get their animals all in place. But if the cloud moved, you had to move. If the pillar of fire moved, you moved. Now watch this. If you you were in park, you froze to death, or you burned up. Everybody say no parking. Don't stay where you are. I hope every time you hear me speak, you go, wow, Bishop has grown. All right, here we go. How many of y'all know this is not optional, one way? I'm going to tell you what the Word of God is about. The Word of God is there's one way. 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 You want to be healed? There's one way. You want to be forgiven? There's one way. There's only one way. And if you try to go another way down a one way, what happens? Bad stuff. Let's go. The Lord really wanted me to say this to y'all today. If you're going down a road and he says dead end, stop, turn around. Nothing's going to happen. He's giving you that before you get down there. See, every time you're driving, I want you to see these signs. And I want God to say something to you. Dead end. God never wants a dead end. He'll tell you if you keep going. What the way of a man seems right unto him, but the end of that way is a dead end. All right, here we go. We're about through. I already talked about this. Yield. Oh, Jesus. Come on, slow down. Listen, the charismatic movement, people get filled with the Holy Spirit. They're like, Can I tell you this? Let me just please help you. Jesus was ready to preach revelation. At 12, he wasn't mature enough till 30 to have any word recorded he spoke. People always talk about people being spiritual, but God said, I can't let you speak. I can't let you minister, Jesus, until you're mature. Slow down. It's going to happen. Unnatural growth without a root system is always going to end in a failed growth. Slow down. It's okay. There's times to go fast. Here we go. That's it. This is what I wanted to end with today. Drive safely. In life, drive safely. You know what happens when it rains in South Florida. We're sea level. The water has no place to go. A lot of places, as you go home, the water won't be able to get out quick enough. And it's going to be standing. That doesn't mean speed up. Drive safely. I ride my bike almost every day. And the only way, because there's all kind of stories in South Florida about people getting hit on bikes and killed. I said to my wife, ride with me and let me show you how to ride defensively. Safely. I don't ever trust somebody coming out until I make eye contact with them and get their attention, and then I'll go in front of them. It doesn't matter if I have the right of way. I know how to drive safely. Now, here's how I wanted to end today. You can put your notes aside. Let me minister to you, okay? Trust in the Lord. To take daily direction takes trust. It takes trust. But as your pastor 3 years ago, when I had a stroke preaching on Sunday morning, God said change of direction. And God began to do incredible things both here and abroad. You'll see all of that this morning. In the name of Jesus, I come against all fear. I come against all fear in Jesus' name. I come against all fear. Everybody, I want you just to say, let fear be gone from my life. You just say, I rebuke fear. I will not be afraid. I will fear no evil. Come on, just put your hand over your heart and go, I will not fear. I will not fear. Just say whatever direction he says, I will trust. I want you to say right now, I trust in my mind. Say it. I trust in my mind. Take your hand, put it on your head. I trust God in my mind. I trust him with my thoughts. Your thoughts over my thoughts. I trust you with my heart, with my emotions. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. I want you to say right now, the mind of reason. The mind of reason is defeated. It does not lead. The mind of the Spirit leads. Mind of the Spirit. I want you to say, Holy Spirit, direct me. Holy Spirit, direct me.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.